But good morning and happy Sabbath. So good to see so many people out this morning. You know, I like to say God is good. And all the time, God is good. As we studied in Sabbath school lesson, his mercy endureth forever. So that's what that comes from, all the time. So I know President's Day is Monday, so I don't know what kind of plans y'all got. But hope everything goes good. And I was supposed to bring this message last month, but we got the flu, we got sick, we had to stay home. So that's why it's coming today. So good to see everybody. Let's have a word of prayer. I'm going to be coming from Proverbs. Let us pray. Proverbs 3, 5 through 8 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones." Lord, be with us as we hear from you this morning. And speak through me, through my words, but may you amplify them, and may they be marrow to our bones. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And so before we get started, I just want to do a quick shout out. I'm trying to get something online, but Kevin James, he is our Associate Director of Religious Liberty for the Southern Union. So like I said, there's some handouts in the back, but he is going to be doing a Religious Accommodation in the Workplace webinar February 24th of this year from 5 to 6:30. And you can get it on Zoom. For those who can't, somebody's going to read it. The Zoom link, the passcode is freedom. So if you go, you can go on YouTube too. Just go on YouTube, bring up Religious Liberty. You'll see his picture, and that's the passcode to get into it. And so it should be really interesting. I just wonder, because it's next week, so to do it Saturday, it's going to be kind of late. So, all right. So this is going to be my Religious Liberty message that I would have brought last month. So religious liberty, two words, liberty, meaning the freedom to do something, religious, relating to or manifesting faithful devotion to an acknowledged ultimate reality or deity. And so as we understand, you put those two together, religious liberty, it means what? The ability or the right to worship as you choose, or not to worship at all. If you're an atheist, agnostic, hey, that is your right to say, well, there's no God. That's your right, okay? That's a fundamental right that everyone on the planet should be able to enjoy. But as we know, not all countries recognize this right around the world. There are some countries where the religion of the land controls the government. So not only does the religion of the land govern how the people worship, it also tells you how to dress, tells you who can go to school, who can't, what day to worship on, when you can pray, when you can't pray. And the list goes on. You know, if you do any Google research, you can find these countries out. So, and then we know, according to prophecy, we know that's going to happen here too, and it's already beginning. There's some people who, in this country, United States of America, believe that the Bible should be the controlling book of the land. Bible should control everything. Should tell us what we should do, how we should act, all of that kind of, what day we should worship on. Okay? And that goes even a step further. A little controversy, but people, you know, I hear people say we should bring prayer back in school, okay? So if we have religious liberty and we able to worship how we choose, then what prayer is that going to be? Is it going to be from the Bible? Is it going to be from the Quran? Is it going to be from the Gita? Is it going to be from the Tripitaka or the Guru Granth Sahib? And those are all different religions. Some of the Bible is Christianity. The Quran is Islam. The Gita is Hinduism. I didn't list the Torah because that's part of our Bible, but you know, there's some Jews that just say just the Torah, there's nothing else. They don't use the New Testament. So it's going to be just from the Torah? Is it going to be from Sikhism, the Guru Granth Sahib, or the Tripitaka from Buddhism? So which one is it going to be? You know, that's why we don't have that sanctioned religion in school. Now, children, people say, well, prayer's taken out. No, that's not true. Children can still pray if they want. They can still meet in certain areas. They can pray before they eat their food. But just having a, say, a principal or a teacher that is a figurehead to bring that out, no, that's not allowed because of this very reason. Which one are you going to use? So some things have good intentions, but if they're not thought out, then it leads to other complications. So, I'm going to roll page there. All right. Now, I just want to bring a couple things up. According to www.usachurches.org, there are several hundred Christian denominations in the United States alone. Just in the U.S., we've got several hundred Christian denominations. According to thecompletepilgrim.com, there are 34,000 Christian denominations in the world. So when you get the United States, then you broaden to the world, you've got 34,000 Christian denominations. And according to usreligioncensus.org, yep, that's, we got a census for religion. You know, you got the U.S. Census that takes the population. Well, there's a census that actually checks on people of faith. And according to them, there are 370 religious bodies in the United States alone. So just imagine worldwide how many more there may be. But in the United States, we have what book controls or governs the country? It's the Constitution. This document, along with the rule of law and other non-religious documents, governs how the country operates. You have this law for this, this law for that, you can do this, you can't do that, that kind of thing. So it's not any religious book that governs the country, okay? And that's what it says in the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So we talk about freedom, religion. Now we want to see, what does the Bible talk about religious liberty? And we'll get into that. Okay, now I know there's a handout that has the verses, but I'm going to skip Romans 8, verses 20 and 21, okay, in case you're following that handout. Galatians 5 and verse 1, it says, since Christ has set us free from enslavement to sin and sealed our liberty, let us stand firm in his victory, not becoming entangled in unnecessary rituals in order to be saved. So that first part, Christ has saved us free from the enslavement of sin and sealed our liberty. So that sounds like two separate things, right? Okay, we got freedom from enslavement to sin and sealed our liberty. So what is that? What is that saying? It sounds like two different things, maybe. No. Christ has freed us from sin so that we can worship him in freedom, not from the dictate or the enslavement or captivity of sin. That's what we're free from. James 1, verses 22 and 25 says, don't deceive yourselves into thinking that all you have to do is listen to God's word. You also have to put it into practice. And it gives an example. It doesn't just live, it gives an example. 23, whoever listens to God's word and doesn't do what it says is like a man who takes a good look in a mirror. You look in the mirror, he sees himself. Yeah, okay. And then goes away and ignores what he just saw. If you saw something on your face, your forehead, you're supposed to get a wash rag and wipe that off. But you just go on. You know, the dirt just represents sin, okay? So, 25, but if he carefully looks in the mirror of God's perfect law, he will see that it is a law of liberty. Now, you first read that, I'm thinking, you got law that tells you what to do, what you can't do, what you can do. But then liberty says you have freedom. So how is a law giving you freedom? Let's read that again, 25. But if he carefully looks into the mirror of God's perfect law, he will see that it is a law of liberty intended to set him free from sin. If he continues to do this and doesn't forget what it says, but puts it into practice, God will bless him in what he does. So this law of liberty is designed to free us from sin, to worship God as he truly intended us. Now, what time period was it when the earth was free from sin? Before Adam and Eve sinned. When he made the earth and he made Adam and Eve, there was no sin. Went through days, things going on. He says, here's the trees. You can eat from everything in the garden, but not tree of knowledge, good and evil. So the earth was sin-free up until the point when Adam sinned. Okay? So 25 says we have to put this into practice. What does that mean? We have to study God's word, and we have to put it into practice by the things we do. So just as in the garden, did God force Adam and say, you will not eat from that tree of knowledge of good and evil. You're not gonna, I'm going to make sure you don't get to it. No, he gave him a choice. He gave him free will. He wanted to see what Adam was going to do. And in the same way, through our lives, he wants to see what we are going to do. We can say all day long, God, I love you, God, I love you. And then God's put something in our path and says, okay, how are you going to react in this situation? This is how we show that we love God. How do we treat people? What do we do in that situation? Because we can talk all day long. We know talk is cheap, right? So it doesn't say that we are to force what we believe on other people. You know, like I said, we got how many denominations in this country? A whole bunch, hundreds. So we're not to force what we believe on other people. We're supposed to let God live out his life in us. People see that, and then they say, hey, why do you do XYZ? Why don't you do ABC? Then we explain, well, scripture says this. Here, this. Not just, okay, well, you're doing that. That's the wrong thing to do. And that's not it. So, but through our lives, Christ living in us, we are to be examples to those around us. James 2, verse 12. It says, so act, and what I'm reading is from the clear words, if you're reading in your King James or something else, that's why it's not the same. It says, so speak and act as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. Wow. I first read that, I'm like, that don't make sense. You're going to be judged by the law of liberty, or you're going to be judged by this law of freedom. But then when you take all the text together, then it makes sense. You're going to be judged by the law that sets you free from sin, and then now how do you worship God? According to how he has indicated. So speak and act as those who will be judged by the law of liberty, which sets us free from the bondage of sin through however we want to worship. No, the scripture doesn't say that. Sets us free from the bondage of sin through what my parents and grandparents did. No, it doesn't say that. It says sets us free from the bondage of sin through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's through what Christ did for us. Not of works, not of anything we can do, but through Christ living in us. So, and I think of the law and liberty and whatever. So I was thinking about the military. Anybody been in the military? If you're in the Navy, you know, they have something they call liberty. You know, they go into a port and they say, okay, you've got liberty for 3 days, you know, whatever. So that means you're free from the ship and you can go to this land and go mingle with the people. But there's restrictions. They'll say, okay, I mean, just like now. There are certain countries, if you go on vacation to Bahamas, Jamaica, they've got, the State Department has certain guidelines. You have 1, 2, 3, and 4. 1 is, you go there, it should be no problem. 2, you better be a little careful. 3, no, you don't want to go there. 4, don't go, period. So the same thing with the military. You go out on liberty, okay, don't go do anything crazy. You know, I'm just, you know, that's just military talk. You know, your supervisor is going to tell you, don't go out there and get drunk and get crazy. You can go have fun. You know, they say travel in groups. Because if you're in groups, there's more safety. You know, don't go to certain places. You know, this area, we determine over the years, this province or this section, don't go there. These are okay to go to. So that's the liberty that God has for us. That's why he has his law, the Ten Commandments, to say, here's freedom, but with these guidelines. So it's not a restrictive thing. It's done when the military sends these sailors out, it's not to say, well, you can go have fun, you know, but and it's punishment. No, the guidelines are protection, is to keep us out of harm's way, in the same way God's law is. People want to say, well, that God's just restrictive. And no, it's freedom from sin. That's what that's talking about. 1 John 3:4, 1 John 3:4, it says, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Now, my Bible has a footnote that says sin is lawlessness. I just want to break that down for a minute. You have the word law, then you have less and ness. So lawless, that means there's no law. And then this, there's a whole bunch of no law. So sin is not having the law. Does that make sense? So when you have the law, it keeps you away from sin. So sin is saying, I don't want to have the law, I want to do away with it so I can do whatever I want. That's sin. If we do what God says, then we are abiding by his law. Okay? And I'm skipping 2 Peter 2 in verses 19 and 20 also. So let's just look at a couple examples where people had free will. They had religious liberty to do as they want. We already talked about the first one, Adam and Eve. Adam chose to, because God told him, if you eat from the tree, you're going to die. That's your religious liberty. That's your right. However, this is what's going to happen if you do this. Okay? Now, the funny thing, I look at it when I read over it. God made Adam, then God made Eve from Adam, right? He took a rib, put Adam to sleep, took a rib, woke him back up. And Adam said, oh, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. He was so happy. Oh, I got Eve. Because all the other animals had a pair. He didn't have anybody. But then when he sinned, what's the first thing he did? He blamed Eve. You know, they went and hid in the garden. God's coming through, and they said, oh, here comes God. Let's go hide. You know, they made fig leaves. And then God said, where are you? Oh, we're here because we're naked. Who told you? This woman that you gave me, she gave me the fruit to eat. See what sin does? And then what did Eve do? Well, the serpent, and she, it doesn't say it, but the serpent you made beguiled me. So you start casting blame. You start casting blame. It's crazy. But then it gets worse. Yeah, it just escalated on down. So Cain and Abel. God said, bring this offering to me. Abel's like, oh, that's no problem. I tend animals anyway. He brings the proper offering. God's happy. Yeah, boom, okay. Cain is like, you know what? I'm a farmer, and I'm going to bring the best. That's what God said. He says, bring a lamb without spot or blemish. That's what Abel did. Cain's like, well, I'm a farmer. I'm going to bring this right here. This is the best corn and the best tomatoes and the best everything I got. God should be happy with that. He's choosing to worship God how he dictated. And God's like, no, that's not what I asked for. And so he didn't accept Cain's offering. What does Cain do? He kills Abel. Abel did the right thing. We kind of talked about that this morning in Sabbath school. Cain did what God asked. Abel did what God asked. Cain didn't. But then Cain kills Abel because, well, he took my brother's offering. He didn't take mine, so I'm mad at him. Really? How can you then do what God asked you to do, Cain? So we're in the same thing. We can be. We have to do what God has asked us to do. Not how I think it should be this way. No, what did God say? You know? So that's why we have so many denominations. We got so many because I read the Bible, this is my interpretation. Well, I read it, this is my interpretation. Now, some of that, as we studied on Wednesday prayer meeting, Some of that is a progressive type learning, or God's revelation. When Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the door, did he talk about the Sabbath? No, he was still a Catholic. But we all say he's going to be in heaven, right? He was still going on Sunday. Wow. Eye-opener, right? But what he brought was what God had given him to bring at that time. So you went from what he was saying, it's not by works, you don't have to pay indulgences, you don't have to pay a penance. He was bringing that light at that time, and it went on to different denominations up until where we are. The only problem was some people stayed in that particular thing and didn't accept the more truth that God had brought out through his plan, through his process. So we have to accept what God has for us, okay? So as we're entering, like I said, we're already halfway through February. The year's just going by. So as we're entering through 2024, I'm gonna touch on a couple things and then I'll be done. So going into 2024, there's these four things I'm looking to make sure that I try to stay on track of. One is search for the truth. Two, allow the word to change us. Three, don't worry, have courage. And four, trust and obey the Lord. So search for the truth. 2 Timothy 2:15 and 16 says, study every day to show God that you're a workman who does not need to be ashamed, correctly handling the word of truth and presenting the gospel with tact and conviction. And that's the key. When we present this gospel to people, they ask us questions, so we're introducing them to Jesus. We're not introducing them to the Sabbath. That can come later. We're not introducing them to the health message. That can come later. Because who is the author of the Sabbath? Jesus. Who's the author of the health message? Jesus. So we got to introduce people to Jesus first, because if we put the Sabbath, you got to come on Sabbath and know this and you can't eat this. Now we're just bringing them principles and doctrines, and we're not bringing them the Savior. We got to introduce them to the Savior first, okay? 16, stay away from profane and senseless discussions, which never help anyone, but only make people irritable and more ungodly. And that's a true statement. If you got a topic you're talking about, or you consider, if it's not dealing with God and doctrine and the gospel and Jesus, don't bring that up. You have a private conversation, yeah, okay, whatever, that's fine. But we shouldn't be doing that. Acts 17:11. As a group, Bereans were more open-minded than the Jews in Thessalonica. They eagerly listened to what Paul and Silas had to say and every day studied the scriptures for themselves to see if what these men were saying was correct. So we gotta be searching the scripture, as Timothy and Acts is bringing out. Two, allow the word to change us, because we've got things in the life that we have to get out. I got things I gotta get out, okay? So we can't just study the word and then stay as we are. We gotta study the word and allow it to change us. Romans 12:1-2 says, therefore I plead with you, brothers, because of God's kindness and mercy toward you, offer your lives as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to him. This is both reasonable and the spiritual way to worship God. Don't pattern your life after this world, but let God transform you from the inside out and give you a new way of thinking. Then you will know what is good and pleasing to him and what is not. So God is going to change us from the inside out. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. The Lord is working through his Holy Spirit to remove this veil. You know, when Moses came down from the mountain, he had been with God and his face was shining so bright they couldn't stand it. They said, Moses, you got to put something over there. We can't take it. So that's what it's saying. It's going to take away that veil. Well, and wherever the Holy Spirit is, there is freedom from salvation by works. There's freedom from I'm trying to be right instead of God working through me. Because the Pharisees and Sadducees thought they was doing right. But when Jesus showed up, they was like, you're not the Messiah. Because we already studying. This is our interpretation of who the Messiah is supposed to look like and what he's going to do. You don't fit what we think But they were wrong. It wasn't according to Scripture. So we don't want to do the same thing. We don't want to do that. 2 Corinthians 3:17, 18, yeah. The Lord is working through His Holy Spirit to remove this veil, and wherever the Holy Spirit is, there is freedom from salvation by works. Our faces are no longer covered, and as we look at the glory of the Lord, we are changed. We reflect more and more of His image by the power of the Spirit working on our hearts. And I like how it brings that out because, you know, we can't just say, okay, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I get that. But think about who brought about our salvation. Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit. We got to have all three. We got to have all three. That's why Satan wasn't allowed to go in there when they was talking about man's salvation, because he was going to be the enemy. Don't worry, have courage. Joshua 1:9. What have I told you to do? I have told you to be strong and full of courage. Don't be afraid. Don't become discouraged or give up, because you don't have to do all this alone. The Lord your God will be with you every step of the way. So God is with us. God is going to get us through our difficulties. He's going to get us through the hard times. But we need to keep them when we're going through the good times. When things are going good and we don't have any issues, we need to say, thank God. Thank God you've been with me. Thank God you told me to do this. Thank God you kept me from this. Thank God you showed me this person who gave me some good advice. And all those things, we got to thank God in the good times too, not just, okay, God, I'm having trouble, so I need you to help me. I mean, He will, but He wants us to thank Him as well. Philippians 4:6-7. Don't worry so much about everything. When you pray, ask God for what you need. Don't be afraid to plead with Him, but always do so with a grateful heart. God's peace, which surpasses human comprehension, will guard your hearts and keep your minds on Jesus Christ. You know, I think about the lady that Jesus met, and she was asking for Him to do something for her. And, you know, He was showing the disciples how not to act. So He was ignoring this lady, and she kept pleading with Jesus. And Jesus said, you know, we're not supposed to give, you know, you don't give your dogs stuff, you know, eat from the table. She said, well, the dogs can eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. So she was pleading with Jesus, and He saw her heart and saw what she was asking for, and He said, okay. So He was showing the disciples, this is how you're not supposed to act. Okay, now I'm going to grant her what she asked for. This is how you're supposed to act. So don't worry. God said, do have trust, have faith in Him. Okay? And the last one, trust and obey the Lord. I think that's my last one. Yeah. I read that earlier, Proverbs 3:5-8. Let's go down to Psalm 19:7-9. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, giving wisdom to the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, and those who follow them are happy. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the mind. Respect for the Lord is good. It will continue forever. The judgments of the Lord are fair and altogether righteous. So that kind of goes along with the Sabbath school lesson. God's mercy endureth forever. Everything that we go through, God is there with us. And what He has told us in His word, they're true, they're perfect, convert the soul, they give wisdom. Those who follow them are happy. They enlighten the mind. You know, we're supposed to, like 9 says, respect for the Lord is good, because He's going to bless us in what we do when we are doing it for Him, and He and Jesus is working through us doing it. So, in closing, I just have one question. So, what is true religious liberty? The answer is worshiping God according to His word and His law, and free from the influence of sin and lawlessness. And that's what His word is saying. We have to embrace His law, because His law isn't restrictive. It gives us liberty from sin. And so if we are free from sin, Adam and Eve, when they was worshiping God before they sinned, they were happy. They were fine. They didn't have any issues. But after they sinned, oh, now there's all kind of problems. Now I'm thinking about this. I'm blaming God, I'm blaming the woman you gave me, I'm blaming your creation. Sin, it just permeates everything. And so we can't truly worship God the way he wants us to if Jesus isn't in our hearts and in our lives. And that's what the scripture is letting us know. So I did have, I didn't put them out there, but I had a few handouts. I know we had the offering early January, but with Religious Liberty, those who don't know, the campaign goes January, February, March. So we have 3 months to, you can still donate, you know, on your tithe only for Religious Liberty, still do that. I had a couple handouts. One is from the Southern Tidings. This is only going back not as far as Ann did with her children's story. This is only 2021. But Amira El-Haddad, she is the director for the Southern Union for Public Affairs and Religious Liberty. So she had an article she put out in the Southern Tidings. So I'm going to have that down there if you want to get a copy. And then, I don't know if you know, Lincoln Steed, he used to be the Liberty editor for our Liberty magazine, but Bettina Cross, she took over. So now she's the editor of the Liberty magazine. And the issue, January, February, I don't think it's come out yet, but you can go online and find it. And so she has an article dealing with religious liberty. We know, we've all heard about, you know, the Catholic Church and the Sunday law and that kind of thing. And so she brings out a group, it's called Project 2025. So I don't know if you heard about it, but Project 2025, they had a statement that came out in April last year, and she goes into about that as well. So I'm just gonna have those out there on the first row of pews if you want to pick up a copy. All right. Thank you.